Good morning. I was already sweating during worship, so we'll see how this goes, you know. I'm pretty comfortable behind the piano, but not as much here, but we'll do our best. It's an honor to speak. It's my first time on a Sunday morning sharing at Oak Grove, and I just feel privileged. I don't take it lightly. It's an honor. And I've been a mom now for about, I guess, 2-3 years. I have a little 2.5-year-old Tommy Taylor Dodson. Now, he is our world. He is truly the light of my life, the joy of my life, and it has been awesome being a mom. And I see some moms in here shaking their head because you know what a privilege and honor it is. And I just want to say I have a world-class mom. Me and Tori call our mother a world-class mother because she really is. Generous, hospitable, all of the great qualities. I have my mother-in-law in the room, and she's awesome. I got blessed with a good one. My sister has been influential. And honestly, a lot of you in this room I look up to greatly, and you've impacted my life in a lot of ways. So we've been here for 22 years. We celebrated that a couple of weeks ago, and it got me thinking back to 22 years ago when we first got here. I was 8 years old, really little. Some of you will always see me as that 8-year-old little girl in your eyes, and that's okay. And I remember one of the first church events that we ever had here that I recall was a Light for the Lost banquet. And we hosted it in our Family Life Center, and I remember it was a Friday night, and my sister was probably, she was older, she was probably hanging out with a friend or at a sleepover. Well, it was just me and mom and dad that night, you know, like all 8-year-olds, pretty much hanging with their parents. So we drive to the FLC, and we get out, and I looked at my parents, and I was like, what are we doing? You know, it's a Friday night. And they said, well, we have a banquet tonight, so they get in the doors and they just leave. You know, they get to work. They do what they do best. And I remember stepping in the back and seeing my dad. He just took off. He's greeting people in the perfect Ron Moran fashion. He grabbed those barrel trash cans. He's throwing large black trash bags in there. I saw my mom start greeting ladies and show him where things are in the kitchen, and they're getting ready. And I remember so vividly as an 8-year-old just stepping back to those stained glass windows in the back of the FLC. And being like, I am the only child here. What am I supposed to do? And I just thought, I had this moment where I looked up and I thought, well, I guess we just serve. I guess we just serve. I saw my mom serving, my dad serving, and I said, let's go. Let's get to work. It's what we do. It was ingrained in me. And so I grabbed a trash can, and my dad said, as people finish eating, you know, just throw their trash in that big trash can. Just roll it around. Chrissy was about as tall as me. And so here I went, just rolling the trash, throwing trash away. Some of my Abundant Life people remember, you know, and I just wanted to pause and say, if you tipped me at any of those Abundant Lives, that just made my day, and I will never forget you. And if you know, you know. But I remember at the very end of the night, I mean, my mom's giving me a water pitcher, just go fill up water cups, you know, did everything I could, and I didn't think twice about it. Well, at the very end of the night, there was this missionary and his wife, and they stopped me. Now, remember, I was 8, and so for adults to stop me, it was most likely because they're like, do you know where your dad is, you know? But no, this missionary stopped, and he got on his knee, and he looked me dead in the eyes, and he said, Chrissy, I just want to tell you, my wife and I have watched you serve all night long. And we see a servant heart in you. And we just know that the Holy Spirit sent us here tonight to tell you, you are going to serve his church. And that is your future. And we want you to know that God wants to tell you that today. And I remember just being overwhelmed. I mean, it's not every day that an adult will stop you and get on your level as a child, and especially someone not your parents. And I remember, I didn't even say anything. I was overwhelmed. Tears kind of welling up in my eyes, and he gave me one of those Pentecostal handshakes. Now, wow, that was exciting. I remember looking down and being like, oh, he gave me a $10 bill. I saw a 1 and a 0. I was thinking, whoa, I can get 10 things at the Dollar Tree. Tomorrow, mom is gonna have to take me to the Dollar Tree. This is the best day of my life, right? And so I remember my parents were busy, so we finally finished the Light for the Lost banquet. We get in the car. And the first thing I say is, Mom and Dad, there's a missionary. They told me to stop. They saw me on my knee, and here's a $10 bill. And my parents are like, wait, what? What is going on? And I handed my mom that $10 bill. And lo and behold, she said, this is a $100 bill. And I said, what? I can get 100 things at the Dollar you have got to be kidding me. I mean, I was on cloud nine. Well, obviously my parents are like, whoa, I wonder if they meant to give you that. He might have thought it was a 10. Who gave you this, Chrissy? And I said, I don't even know, but it was a missionary and his wife. And they got on my level, mom and dad, and he said that I can be used by God and that God has a special place for me to serve the church in my future. And it just blessed me. And so I described the man to my dad. Do y'all remember this? I know you do. I know dad did when I told him about it earlier, but, he said, I think I know who that missionary was when I described him. So he said, tomorrow morning we'll call him and just make sure, you know, he didn't mean to actually give you a 10 on accident. That was a lot of money. So he calls him up. I said, and I mean, I woke my dad up on Saturday morning. I was like, call the missionary because I want to know if I get the $100 bill, you know? So I remember waking him up and he's like, I said, put it on speakerphone. I was a lot as an 8-year-old, still am. And so I remember he put it on speakerphone and he said, man, you just blessed my daughter last night. Thank you so much. And man, she brought a $100 bill. Is that what you intended to give? And he said, absolutely, Pastor Ron. And I was listening to this. See, his words were seeds in my life. And he said, absolutely, Pastor Ron. I know that the Holy Spirit spoke to my wife and I to tell her and give her some encouragement in the middle of this Life for the Lost banquet where no children were. Now, I want to fast forward a little bit. Well, let me tell you this first. This missionary went on to say, actually, if I can get your address, my wife and I, we want to send a card and a necklace from Africa. We're missionaries to Africa in the mail. My day was getting better and better and better. Now I'm getting mail. Okay. That's exciting as an 8-year-old. I'm getting mail. So just a week later, I pull out the envelope out of the mailbox. I open it up. It's from those missionaries again. And they wrote me a card and a letter of encouragement. And in that envelope, they said, here's a necklace from Africa. And we just want you to hold on to it and remember that we saw you and we spoke this into your life. Now, I stepped into ministry at 19 years old. I'm turning 30 this month, and I still have that necklace. And ever since I stepped into the office and I got a desk drawer, this is the first thing that I brought and put in my desk drawer. Because every time I get discouraged in ministry or every time I have a hard day, all I have to do is simply pull that drawer out and I see where God saw me and he used a missionary to plant a seed of encouragement into my life. Now I want to continue with the story because I love that Cameron's on the front pew. I'm going to pick on you, Cameron, a little bit. Okay. He's like, oh no. Just a few months ago, we got to honor Cameron for like $10,000 in your lifetime to BGMC. I mean, wow, that is incredible, Cameron. And if you remember, yeah, let's give it up for him. That is so awesome. And I remember, this is not too far back. And he, remember the CE director, Chip Dutton, he came on the stage and he presented you with like a big coin and a big buddy barrel. Everyone remember that? And at the very end of Pastor Chip's presentation to Cameron, he said, "In one of our Southern Missouri Ministry Network missionaries wrote a card to you. And I want to read that to you. Do you remember that? You might still have it. Keep it, buddy. Because I was standing at the piano and tears welled up in my eyes as he said that was from Pastor Bill Moore, the same missionary that spoke into my life 20 years ago. And let me tell you, I haven't spoken to this missionary. I've never sat and had a meal with him. It's really not about him at all. What I want to tell you is that he is still speaking into the next generation. He still believes in the next generation. And he doesn't have to get recognition, and he doesn't even care. It's just when he sees the opportunity and he's sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to speak into a young person, he does it. He obeys. And his words are seeds. And he began to impart in Cameron, who I think has a world of potential too. He said, you have a generous heart. And you have a heart for missions, and God is going to use it, Cameron, in a mighty way. And wow, that missionary and his wife got on my level, and they planted seeds of purpose and calling in me. They spoke truth, and they spoke inspiration. That planted a seed of confidence within me as an 8-year-old little girl. You see, their words were seeds that would continue to be watered every day by my parents, my children's pastors, my youth pastors, teachers, mentors, throughout my life. And in Luke chapter 8, there's this parable, and it's not our main text today, but there's the parable of the sower, and you might be familiar with it. And Jesus shares, you know, as you sow the seeds, what happens. But a little bit farther along in Luke chapter 8, the disciples say, what does this mean, Jesus? You know, what does this parable mean? And he goes on to explain and define the seed as being the word of God. And this morning, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about what kind of seeds you are planting in yourself, in your family, in your children, and in the next generation. So if you have your Bibles, will you turn to 2 Timothy? We're going to start in chapter 1. And I've always loved the books 1 and 2 Timothy, even Titus, because I feel as though I can really relate to Timothy. He's a young person who has a beautiful spiritual heritage and a strong call of God in his life. And Paul, who's the author of these books, he takes the time to plant words of seeds into Timothy. See, Paul wants to see the next gen win. He's a sower. And despite all that Paul was busy with, we're talking like 1, 2, 3 missionary journeys. I mean, he's busy, dude. And while he's writing 2 Timothy, he is in prison for the cause of Christ. He had a little bit going on, but he still made the time and knew the importance of sowing into the next generation. And I love in 2 Timothy chapter 1 how Paul speaks to Timothy. And I think we can learn a lot from his words, and I want to read it together. We're going to read a good portion of chapter 1, so stick with me. This letter is from Paul, a missionary of Christ Jesus. I have been sent out to tell others about the life he has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. I am writing to Timothy, my dear son in the faith. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers, and I long to see you again. For I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone's speaking to me like this, man, do I feel seen and loved and important. Our young people need that, guys. You can sense the closeness here of Paul and Timothy. Verse 5 says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share that faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that that same faith continues to be strong in you. And this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gifts that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, Timothy, and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed, Timothy, to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and he called us to live a holy life. And he did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way of life and immorality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. Verse 12, we're almost done. That is why I'm suffering here in prison, Timothy. But I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. So hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching that you learned from me. A pattern shaped by faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. Wow. I love the way Paul speaks to Timothy. It sows life. It sows purpose. Even in the midst of greatest trial, it sows contentment. It sows the truth of the good news, and it's full of positivity. And notice how he points out the spiritual heritage that Timothy has. A little further in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, Paul continues by saying, "But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. Grandma Lois and Mother Eunice, you have been taught the Word of God from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. For all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." How appropriate on Mother's Day to stop and acknowledge Grandma Lois and Mother Eunice. And what this world needs more than anything is strong, praying mamas. Mamas full of strong faith that can show their children how to live it out. And mamas that will speak the life-giving words of the Bible into their children. The next generation needs grandmothers that will pray spirit-filled prayers in front of their grandkids and teach them how to pray. We need women that will lift up the next generation by sowing the Word of God in them. Because the Word of God, it never returns void. And Paul says it right there in 2 Timothy 3. The Holy Scriptures that you have been taught, Timothy, since you were little, that is the very thing that will give you wisdom. That Word of God implanted in you, that will teach you what is true and make you realize what is wrong. And those scriptures that your grandmother and mother implanted in you, that is what will correct us when we're wrong and teach us what to do that is right. And let me stop just for a minute and talk to the parents in the room. We put so much pressure on ourselves, don't we? The world is getting dark and more dangerous, and I'm worried my children will get exposed to too much too young, and what are we going to do when they're old enough to be without us? And how do I make sure that my family stays together and my children are on the right path? And I came here to remind you today that there is a way, and it's an easy way, and it's to fill them with the Word of God. Help them to know it from a young age and give them the confidence that only Christ can give. Because words are seeds. And the Word of a God is a seed that will never return void. Speak it over your children. Speak it over your grandchildren. Speak it over your spouse, over your country, over your church. And mostly, speak it over the next generation. Because they're going to need it in order to fulfill all that God has called them to do. You see, if that missionary wouldn't have stopped to acknowledge little Chrissy at 8 years old, one of the many of the next generation of servants of the church, if Paul, the missionary, wouldn't have stopped to acknowledge Timothy as the next generation of called missionaries, where would we be today? Your words are seeds, and they matter greatly. So do not sow sparingly, church, sow greatly, for it could impact a whole generation of leaders and world changers for the cause of Christ. But we have to be aware of one thing. There is an enemy of the seed. And it is what the culture has to say. And it is what the world has to say. And it is what the enemy wants us to infiltrate our minds with. And it's very easy to fall into the very popular language of our culture. The words of today. We cannot let the words of culture be louder than the Word of God. It is imperative for our next generation. See, because we have a culture that is telling them that mental illness is everywhere. But the Word of God tells them that God has given them a sound mind. And we have a culture that's telling them, don't be politically incorrect. That's not okay. But the Word of God tells them, preach the Word. Be ready in and out of season and reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. We have a culture that's telling our kids, everyone's drinking alcohol. Does it really matter? But we have the Word of God implanted in us, telling us, as for you, be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Culture's telling them, just live like the world. What's it really going to hurt? We're all doing it and we're fine. But the Word of God is telling them, flee youthful passions. Pursue faithfulness and gentleness with others who call in the name of the Lord with a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2:22, one of my favorite verses. Culture is telling them, you can't serve a God who lets bad things happen. But the Word of God tells them, the Lord will give you understanding in everything. You reap what you sow. And I'm so proud that I'm surrounded by individuals who planted the words of God in my life. But young generation in the room, you're not off the hook today. You see, the seeds have to be thrown out onto good soil. And you have to receive the Word of God and then live it out. In Luke chapter 8, I referenced it earlier in the parable of the sower. Jesus said some seeds were thrown on the rocks and some were thrown on the thorns. But the seeds that were thrown into the good soil that received them, they grew 100-fold. That's what God wants for you, next generation. That's what He has for you. Blessings and purpose 100-fold. But it's your job, generation, to grab it and to live it out. Make your heart right today. Prepare your heart to accept in faith the powerful and life-giving words of God. I have to sow. You know, as I read through 1 and 2 Timothy again this week, it's incredible to me how there can be so many like nuggets of wisdom and encouragement in just those two short books. And I started highlighting in my Bible everywhere I found encouragement for a young person. And I tried to type out a list and it got so long and I could only get one page full. But I wanted to just read this briefly because this is a snapshot of the language that Paul speaks to Timothy. Timothy, you are a man of God. You are called by God to eternal life. And I charge you, Timothy, to fight the good fight of the faith. And don't let anyone despise you for your youth, because you are able to set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Train yourself up in godliness. Godliness is of value in every way. You have a gift in you, Timothy. Do not neglect it. Devote yourself to the reading of Scripture and to preaching the Word. You have a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. You have been appointed by God to His service. So keep praying, Timothy. Keep interceding. Keep a thankful heart. I trust you with this charge to the ministry, for you were made for this. Church, what if this is the language we spoke to our generation coming up under us? What if this is the language that we spoke over the generation below us? Man, because there's a lot of loud noise that we experience. There's a lot of noise that's telling us that it's hopeless, man. The church is dwindling to nothing. People aren't even going into ministry anymore. There's no pastors. Gosh, in 20 years, the church won't even exist. Let me tell you, we have got to rise up and speak truth and speak the Word of God into the next generation. Our generation is not hopeless. We have Cameron's rising up. We have Chrissy's that will stand up here and preach the Word. We have young people that are willing to serve. What is the seeds that you're planting in them? Because words are seeds and they matter. And this morning, I made it personal here, and I thought, as a mom myself, how do I speak to my child? Even at 2.5, You know, does it look like this? Tommy, you are a little man of God. And you are called by God to live in heaven with him, buddy. And I charge you to fight the good fight of faith. And me and your dad, we're going to do everything we can to help you. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're little. Because you are able to set an example, buddy, in the way that you live, in your pure heart. So train yourself up, Tommy, in the ways of God. And I'll help in any way that I can. Keep praying, buddy. Keep interceding. I trust you, Tommy, with this charge to the ministry. For you were made for such a time as this. What if this was the language that we spoke into our children? Today, as we close, I want to open the altars for a fresh commitment. You can come on up, worship team. Adults in the room, parents or not, I want you to rise up as an example to the young generation and make an altar and recommit yourself to the duty of imparting the word of God into the generation beneath you. To speak life, to speak encouragement, to speak positivity into their lives, and to call out the giftings and abilities within them. And if you're a young person in the room, I want you to show up this morning too, to walk to the altar and make a commitment to be good soil and accept the word of God. Then live it out and begin sharing it with the generation beneath you and the generation beside you. We will reap what we sow. It's a biblical principle and it's a promise from the Lord. Our words are seeds today. What voice is going to speak louder, the culture or the word of God?